Now, Sean and I went shopping, which is a bit of a miracle for me because I hate shopping. But this particular Saturday, about 3 weeks ago, Sean and I went to Bath and we had one of those special days. And it started off by going into a shop where I saw this on the wall and I knew that this was what I needed to get. There was just something deep within my spirit that said to me, Joe, you've got to get this. And it says, life isn't about waiting for the storm to pass. It's about learning to dance in the rain. Yeah? I thought, thank you, Lord. You're reminding me of something which I know you are wanting to teach me. I'm just going to move this out of the way a second so that I can put that there. Because for, well, practically all my life, I found it much easier to say, oh, hang on a second, I'll wait till things get a bit better before I do that. We'll just get through this and then. But I'm realizing now that actually life isn't having lots of nice, easy, peaceful times to enjoy and do the things that I thought I would do, but rather life is full of showers, if not storms. There's another one coming over the horizon pretty quick. And I can see from your faces that you know that too. That's life. And learning to live the life is about learning to dance in the rain. And that's what God is wanting to teach me. And it's what I think he wants all of us to learn as disciples. Being a disciple, a learner of Jesus, but learning to dance in the rain. And Sian's got an example of this that she's going to share with us now.
Yeah, I've also brought something which is very symbolic to me. Many of you will know, and I shared it last time when we did Experience Easter Outside, and we were all sitting around here or spilling over, that a couple of years ago, 3 years ago, it seems like yesterday, we went through probably the most difficult time in our family life, and I hit for the first time a health problem, never having really been into hospital before other than to have the children, and the kind of lead up to that was kind of consultant appointment after consultant appointment, getting worse and worse and worse, the news. And so by the time I hit the hospital, I really had no idea what was going to happen. So it was a time like many of you have faced, I guess, as well. But those people who know me well in this church know that I'm really bad at listening. I have a propensity to kind of steam ahead and get things done. And I do get things done, but sometimes that can be at the cost of listening to what people are saying to me in the process. And I don't know why that was sent at that time. I don't believe God sent it, but I do believe God spoke to me through that awful time. Joe became very ill as well because I think the whole kind of stress made all his illnesses flare up. And it was horrendous. And yet, I am not the same person after that experience. I don't think any of us are. And God was most definitely asking me to listen to other people, to listen to him. And Anita gave me something which I think you've seen before, some of you, but something that to me, I took to hospital with me, and shows the hand of God and a small child within that hand. And that was, if you like, God saying, I am in this with you. And so I tried not to forget those lessons that I had learned during that time. And when we arrived back from holiday, we all went on a big holiday together, our whole family, to a house which belongs to my friend in Spain. And we came back we flew back the day after my daughter and her family. And in the taxi coming home, we had a telephone call from my son-in-law, who said, "I didn't want to tell you before now because there's nothing you could do, but Angharad, that's our daughter, is in hospital with viral meningitis, and she's really poorly." And we came home to that, and that, I guess, was the biggest thing really to hit us since that time when I was ill before. And I straight into my mind came this image, and the words almost audibly from God saying, "Remember to listen. Remember I am in this with you." And that actually was something that I did hold on to. And I think I perhaps coped a little bit better. Maybe it was all those people in this church that were praying so hard for us all as a family when that happened last time. And God was able to bring good out of it. And part of that good was that I approached this next trauma in a way that I think was more honouring to him.
As we were singing the song that comes from the words of the prophet Habakkuk, I was very deeply aware that he must have had an experience similar to each of us in many different ways. When he spoke about blessing the name of the Lord in the land that's plentiful, where the streams of abundance flow, and we can easily bless the Lord for all those good things. But he also says, "Blessed be your name when I'm found in the desert place, though I walk through the wilderness." A very different environment when I'm in the rains and I'm in the storm. "Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. And even when the darkness closes in, Lord, I will still say, blessed be your name." This is a man who is mature in his faith. This is the man that we're seeking to emulate. This is the man that Jesus is taking us on a journey to become more like him, and indeed more like Christ himself, who went through the worst storms anybody could ever, ever even imagine. So when the sun's shining down and the world's all as it should be, blessed be your name. On the road marked with suffering, though there's pain in the offering, it is so hard to praise God and to listen and to pray when there is pain. And I would far prefer to put my head under the sheets and the bed and say, "Go away, everything, everyone," and wait for that storm to pass. I find it really hard to pray when the darkness is closing in. I get into a depressive state and I don't want anything to do with anyone. It's a big learning curve for me to learn to dance in those places. And I know it will be for some of you too. Peter Misselbrook, who spoke a few weeks ago, humbled me. 11 weeks in hospital. And he talked about it being an opportunity for prayer. He talked about an opportunity to read the scriptures and to go deeper with God. An opportunity to thank the nurses who were inflicting pain on him, with a view, because he knew that they were bringing good ultimately to him. The woman in the story, it is a very difficult story to get our heads round, and I'm not going to go into any details. As Anita says, look at commentaries on that one. But the key thing about the woman in the story is that she kept praying, first of all, crying out to Jesus, "Lord, have mercy on me, my daughter." As we found with our daughter, there's a special cry, isn't there, for children on behalf of parents have in their hearts. "My daughter is deeply troubled, oppressed by all that evil that was flung at her." She kept praying, but then when she prayed, She listened to what Jesus was saying. She cried out to him, but Jesus answered her, "It's not right to take the children's bread and feed it to the dogs." That's a rather obscure saying, but what he was saying was that for the Jews, who Jesus had come first and foremost as his mission to the Jews, and then through the Jews to the world, to the wider world, would the gospel come. He knew that his mission was first to the people of God, and he wouldn't be deflected from that. So it's not right, because the Gentiles were known as dogs by the Jews. But she listened to him. She took that on board. And she replied with such humility and not a little wit. "Yes, Lord, but even the dogs eat the crumbs from the master's table." She engaged with him. She took on board what he was saying, and she learnt to travel that road with Jesus. And Jesus' response, "Woman, you have great faith." The three things that that woman had was prayer, listening, and response. She went on and kept on praying. She kept on listening, and she responded to Jesus. And those are the three things that really build our capacity to dance in the rain. I want to illustrate that very simply by, we've got three ropes here, and I wonder if we could have one or two children to help us with some rope plaiting. We need six children, and one on each end. So any volunteers to come forward a second? Come on then, come forward. I want six of you, please, quick as you can. If you take this end, what we're going to do, we're going to take this end as far as it can go. If you take it right the way up to the top of the church, we mustn't stand on this rope. You stay this end. Stay all the way through the door. And we'll get it all the way up. Go on, take the other one up as far as it will go. And you, the other one, hand on the other end. That's it. Keep going. Goodness me. That's a very long rope. Oh, it's got a knot. All right. Okay, that'll do. That'll be fine. That's enough. Come back. He's down at down end shops now. Look. And where's the other one? Who's the third person? Coming up and take that rope as far as it'll go.
I think you've got the other end of that one.
That's a bit shorter. Okay.
You step here.
Have we got the third one? Where's the third one? Yeah, we don't need that one. We're going to pluck that. Where's the third rope? Is that it? No, it's this little one here, I think. There. Here we are. Right. You take this end. Take that end down as far as it will go. Wonderful. Right. Okay, stop. Stop. Here we are. Now then. We've got one end, one rope that's very, very long. And that can represent all our praying, all our crying out to God. And it's very, very easy to keep on praying, and it's important we do that. And that can be the main part of our prayers. But then we've got to be able to have a second part, a listening to God, which isn't so common, isn't so long. And the third part of our praying needs to be the responding to God. When we hear what God is saying, we sense what's right to do. Is that quote was that it's not about just doing, it's about doing good. Responding to God as the woman did. So let's try and plait these three together. No. If you come and help do that. And plait them from there.
Where's the end of this one?
The other end. Just from there. Plait that round.
Right, so hang on a minute. So this is one.
Yeah, plait that through.
This is two. Oh, this is two. And this is three.
That's it.
So if you hold it up here, and you'll just plait it.
That's it.
That's it. Plait that
bit. Now, we're going to plait them over. Oh, there we are. It's just like a loom band. Fantastic. whilst Madeline's doing that, we can see the truth that is there in the Bible, that a cord of three strands is not easily broken. And when we have in our praying that crying out to God and that listening to God and the responding to God, as we've heard some of the responses we've had today, then the whole thing begins to take a very different shape. Faith is something that God wants to do and build in us. And there are many here going through situations that you might describe as storms. And people may be asking, why is this happening? It's a very natural question to ask. Maybe a better question to ask in these times is, what is God wanting me to learn through these things? Because as we ask that question, we move into listening. And as we begin to understand a little bit more about what God is teaching us, then we'll be in a position to respond and take those actions that will lead to faith being built. The challenge that Jesus is giving us, both individually and, I believe, as a church, is to keep on walking, to keep on walking in step with Him and responding to those challenges, to be more daring as His disciples. As St. Francis Drake's prayer, not St. Francis Drake, Sir Francis Drake's prayer has it, "Disturb us, Lord, to dare more boldly, to venture on wider seas, where storms will show your mastery, not my inadequacy, where losing sight of land, we shall find the stars. We ask you to push back the horizon of our hopes and to push into the future in strength, courage, love, and hope." He was indeed a person who had learnt to be adventurous in his life, an adventurer for the Lord. And being a believer in a follower of Jesus is, yes, saying, "I believe, Lord, I believe in you." But being a disciple is being about a person who lives by faith, not waiting for the storms to pass, but learning to dance in the rain. Let's hold up that ropes. That's a fantastic achievement. Well done. Well done. Pop it down gently on the floor there. That's wonderful. Thank you very much indeed.